Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Beitza Chav Dalet. Perhaps it would be wise to begin again from the beginning of the Perek, starting with the Mishnah, four lines from the bottom of Chav Gimel Mabez. Ain't sudden dogim mina beberim b'yomtev. One may not trap fish out of these fish ponds on yomtev. Vein noisin lefnei mezoinis, nor can you feed them. Tosfos learns if you feed them, you might capture them. And as Rashi explains, tzeda is not one of those malachis which are mutar on yomtev. Do it before yomtev. There's no reason to do it today. And therefore the Mishnah says you can't trap nor feed. Aval, sudden chayev oif mina beberim, when it comes to an animal, or to fowl, you can trap them, you can capture them, retrieve them out of these beberim, out of these pens, these enclosures. Because when an animal or bird is in this beber, he's already in a state of tzeda, he's already been captured. So simply retrieving it is not considered capturing. So you can capture it out of this beber, and likewise you can feed them. Rav Shimon ben Omer, not all pens are equal. Depends what size. Lo kol beber in shoven. You can't compare all the pens. Depends how large is it. Zeh klal. You have to follow the following rule. Kol mechusar tzeda asur. If the pen is large enough that the animal contained within it is still lacking tzeda, you still have to go and make that effort to trap it, then you can't do that on Yom Tov. It's asur. V'she'en mechusar tzeda mut. But if it's small enough, where the animal within it is technically in a state of captured, then retrieving it is not considered tzeda and it's mut. So in the Mishnah we learn, when it comes to a chayev oif in a beber, it's already been captured, and therefore you're allowed to retrieve it on Yom Tov. V'raminu, listen to this kasha from a braisa which indicates otherwise. Beber and shal chayev shal oifis. You have these enclosures containing chayes, oifis. Ain't sodin mehem b'yom tov. You can't retrieve an animal from these pens on Yom Tov. V'ein noisn lefnei mezoinis, nor can you feed them. You're not allowed to do tzeda on Yom Tov. We have a straight contradiction between the braisa and the Mishnah. Kasha chaya achaya. We have a kasha from the halacha of chaya. In the Mishnah we say a chaya and a beber has already been captured. Whereas in the braisa it seems that it's not considered captured. Therefore you can't capture it on Yom Tov. Kasha oifas ha'oifas. We have another kasha from birds. In the Mishnah we learn if in a beber has already been captured, whereas in a braisa so we say you can't remove the oif from the beber on Yom Tov. Apparently, it's because you're capturing it now. Bishlam mechaya chaya le kasha. Perhaps we could answer the stira between the halacha of chaya. Well, the Mishnah and the braisa reflect different manda amram, different shittas. Ha Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanon. The Mishnah, which learns that a chaya inside a pen is considered trapped, is Shitas Rabbanon. What does Rabbi Yehuda disagrees? Where do you find this machlokes? By Shabbos. This non Rabbi Do Eimer, Hatzor de Tzipor le Migdal. If one should trap a bird, force it into a migdal, to a closet, a fully enclosed area, small and enclosed, that is considered trapping and is chayiv for the malacha of Tzedah on Shabbos. Likewise, utzvi labayis, if he forced a deer into a home, chayev, he has committed tzeda. What do we see from here, says the Gemara? Labayis u demachayev. The deer in the home is considered tzeda. Ava labeber and loy, but simply forcing it into a pen, that's not a defined enough area, and therefore it's not considered tzeda according to Rabbi Yehuda. And indeed, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is reflected in this price that we just brought. The braisa which learns that a chaya found in a biber is not considered in a state of nitzayt. It's not considered captured, and therefore you can't remove that chaya on Yom Tov. However, the Chachamim disagree. They hold that a pen, an enclosure, is relatively small enough that an animal found within it is considered captured. Chachamim Aymrim, Tzipor l'migdal, when it comes to a bird, we agree. Unless you forced it into a migdal, to a small closet, it wouldn't be considered captured. Because it's hard to catch a bird. So a bird in a migdal is considered captured. But when it comes to an animal, such as a deer, utzvi, lagina, ulachatsa, ulabebrin, whether into a garden, to a yard, into a pen, it is already considered captured, and he's chayv
if he does so on Shabbos. And this shita is reflected in our Mishnah. That on Yom Tov you can retrieve an animal from a beaver, because an animal inside the beaver is considered trapped. So we had a kasha between the Chaya and our Mishnah, where it's considered trapped if it's in the beaver. Whereas in the Brice, we see that a Chaya and a beaver is not trapped. The Mishnah is Rabbanon, the Brice is Rabbi Yudah. So that's taken care of. Elo Ifes Ifes Kasha. What about the stira between birds? In the Mishnah we learn a bird and a beaver is captured. In the Brice we learn otherwise. Perhaps we can suggest another teretz here as well. Depends what size beaver we're speaking. Or rather, if it's covered, if it's roofed or unroofed. Haba beaver mekura. Our Mishnah, which considers a bird to be trapped when it's in the beaver, speaking about a beaver mekura, has a roof over it. It's fully enclosed. So it's considered trapped. Haba beaver she'ena mekura. The Braisa, which does not consider the bird trapped, is discussing an unroofed beaver. Okay, that works. Problem is, we know that all shittas, even the Rabbanon, hold on, when it comes to a bird, which is very elusive, you have to trap him into a small contained area, like a migdal. A roofed room wouldn't help you. V'habayis, take a look at the home. The kebibur mekurudami, it certainly compares to a roofed beaver. And what do we see? It doesn't work. Ubein the Rabbi Yudah. Ubein the Rabbanon, according to all shittas. Sipar, when is a bird considered captured? L'migdal, in, only into a closet, as we just learned in the Mishnah. L'bayis loy, not into a room, not into a home, despite the fact that it's fully enclosed and roofed. So how can you say, on the one hand, a bird in a roofed beaver is considered trapped, as per our Mishnah in Beitza? And we take a look at the Mishnah in Shabbos. We say that according to all shittas, only if the tzibur is in a migdal is he considered trapped. So that doesn't really work. Amar Rabba Bar Afuna, says Rabba Bar Afuna, you know what? It's all following shittas Rabbanon. It just depends what type of bird we're speaking about. There are some birds who are more elusive than others. A wild bird, a free roaming bird. Let's stick with this pshat. We have a Mishnah in Beitza that a bird in a beaver is considered trapped. We're speaking about a roofed beaver. We have the Braisa, which the Gemara quoted a minute ago, in the beginning of the Gemara. A bird in a beaver is not trapped. We're speaking about an unroofed beaver. Now what about the Mishnah in Shabbos, where it seems that according to all, Rabbi Yudah and the Rabbanon, unless the tzipor is in a migdal, it's not trapped. That's speaking about, you know what type of bird? Hacha betzipa droi raskinan. A certain type of bird who's a free-flying bird, rebellious bird, she'ena mekabelas maris, doesn't really accept upon itself mastery. You can't really control it. Some learn that it's a specific species. Some learn it just happens to be his nature. He's a rebellious bird. In which case, unless you force him into a migdal, you haven't trapped him. That's a unique case. But your typical bird is different. As long as he's somewhat enclosed, he submits. And is considered trapped. And therefore, if it's a roofed beaver, such as an owl Mishnah in Beitza, it's considered trapped. An unroofed beaver, such as the Braisa quoted in the beginning of the Gemara, then it's considered untrapped. But a tzibah dror, he needs to be forced in a migdal to be considered trapped. The Tana Dere B'Shmol, as we learned in the Braisa, Lo Manikur Shmol Driba Dror, why was it called this type of name, tzibah dror? Meloshan Dir resides comfortably. Shadara B'Vayis K'Besodin, he resides as comfortably in your home as out in the field. He's elusive, he jumps around, you can't grab him. Oh, so that's going to be the teretz to the kasha regarding birds. Again, we had a Mishnah, a Braisa, and another Mishnah. Mishnah Beitza, that a bird in a beaver is considered trapped, a roofed beaver. The Braisa, I think Mark quoted at the onset, that a bird in a beaver is not trapped, an unroofed beaver. Both are speaking about your conventional bird, submissive bird. The Mishnah and Shabbos, that all agree a bird needs to be forced into a migdal, into a small closet to be trapped, is a tzipor d'roir. Continues the Gemara. Hashta da'asas lachi. Now that you've come to this point to provide such a good solution to this kasha, that everything is following Shittas Rabbanon and
simply reflect different circumstances. Roofed, unroofed, wild bird, domestic bird. If that's the case, let's go back to the first kasha. Chaya, chaya, not really kasha. Remember we had that kasha regarding a stira, regarding the halacha of chaya. And now Mishnah, we learn a chaya and a beaver is trapped. And the brisa, which the Gemara quoted in the beginning, a chaya and a beaver is untrapped. That also could be answered in similar fashion. Perhaps everything is following Shitas Rabbanon. Generally speaking, a chaya forced into a pen is considered under your control enough to be considered trapped. It just depends on the type of pen, the type of enclosure, on the size. Like Kasha, the answer is like this. Habe beber katan, in our Mishnah, it's a small-sized pen. Habe beber gadol, in the Braisa, it's a large-sized pen. In which case, you still have to invest effort to capture that animal. Therefore, at this point, it's considered uncaptured. How do you quantify this? Hechi dami biber katan, hechi dami biber gadol. What do you consider small? What do you consider large? Amar Rav Ashi, it's like this. Kol hecha deroit abasrei. If the pen is small enough that you give one lurch, you just lunge at the animal, one lunge, umati lebechat shich, you run after and you catch him on one catch, in one swoop, that's small enough to be considered a biber katan. But if it's larger than that, requires more effort than just a simple lunge. Bibur gadol is considered a large bibur, in which case the animal contained within it is not yet trapped. Inami, another way to describe this, would be as follows. If this pen has all kinds of corners to which the animal can escape and get out of your way, bibur gadol is considered large enough, in which case the animal within it is not yet considered trapped. V'idach, but if it doesn't have those corners to run away, biber katan is considered relatively small, and the animal within it is considered trapped. Inami, a third way to describe this would be, kol hecha denafli tula dekasli adadi. If it's small enough that the shadows of the walls on either side reach each other, that indicates a small-sized biber, that's called a biber katan, in which case the animal within it is considered Nitzoid v'aymed, already captured. V'idach biber gadol, but if it's larger than that, in which case the shadows don't reach each other, that's called a biber gadol, and the animal within it has not yet been captured. Tosfos says apparently they had a certain standard shear as per the height of the walls, and that's what they were measuring with. Okay, so bottom line is like this. When it comes to fish, a fish and a biber, it's not considered trapped. When it comes to a chaya, well, according to Shitas Rabbanon, even a chaya which is in a pen has already been captured, provided it's a small size pen. Now regarding a bird, so if it's your typical standard conventional bird, then if it's a roofed enclosure, it's considered trapped. If it's an unroofed enclosure, that's not yet trapped. If it's a tiba dror, you need it to be in a migdal for it to be considered trapped. Continues the Gemara. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Loi Kala Beber Shavin. Rav Shimon says like this, you can't compare all pens, it depends on the size. So if it's large enough, in which case you still have to trap the animal within it, then it's not yet trapped. Where if it's small enough, where the animal is easily accessible, that's considered a trapped animal. Rashi learns according to one pshat that perhaps Rav Shimon Gamliel is not really disagreeing with Tanakam, he's just coming to explain that bibur isn't your standard. It's not a standard description. It all depends on the size and on the circumstance. Omer Rav Yosef Rav Amida Meshmol, halach k'Rav Shimon Gamliel. The halacha follows Rav Shimon Gamliel that unless the animal within the bibur is not lacking capture, it's not mechusar tzeda, you can't consider that animal to be captured. It has to be small enough so that he can't be. He's not elusive. He can capture him easily. Amalei Abayis. Abayis turns to Rav Yehuda Bar Shmuel. Halacha mekal de pligi. When you say the halacha follows Rabban Shimon Gamliel, do you mean to imply that there's machlekas here? Meaning, the fact that you have to paskin sounds like there's a machlekas. But in reality, the Gemara already interpreted even the Tanakama's opinion as per this concept, that only a beaver katan is considered trapped. So why would you have to say that halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Gamliel as though there is an opposing view? All agree that it has to be a personal-sized pen for the animal within it to be considered captured. Amalei, so Rav Yehuda responds to Abaye. Abaye wanted to know, is there a machlekes? So he responds, my nav kalach mina. What difference does it make to you whether there's a machlekes or not? The bottom line is, the halacha follows this shita. Right? Meaning, assuming there is no machlekes, and certainly the halacha follows this opinion. So what's the point of getting to the discussion of whether or not there's a machlekes? You were asking me, is there a machlekes? Meaning, there is no machlekes. Why do you have to say halacha? Well, what difference does it make whether or not there's a machlekes? Bottom line is, that's the truth. It has to be a small-sized beaver. Omali Abai responds, because when you learn Torah, you have to be careful. You have to be accurate in the way you present things. There's a common saying, Gemara, Gemara. Tell a person, you know, learn and learn, Zmarta Tehei. It's like a song, just chant along without any meaning, without any depth and accuracy. You say something, you have to know whether it's true or not. Zaklo. So what's the clause set forth by Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? Kol Chusar Tzeda. So the animal within the pen is still lacking Tzeda, then you can't grab it on Yantav. How do you quantify this? What is considered a pen large enough for the animal contained within it to still need capture? If this pen is large enough that a person approaching it would say, let's get a trap, a device, which will enable me to capture the animal within it. Then we know the animal within it is mechusat tzeda. You can't do that on Yom Tov. Rashi learns that this is just another way of describing what's considered large and small, so it's added to the previous descriptions. We have a total of four descriptions used to tell apart the large and small beaverin. Abaye responds to Rav Yosef, that is the criterion, whether you need some device which will enable to capture it. What about geese? Chickens. People say that. Look, let's get something to trap the goose, trap the chicken. And still, we learn in the Braisa that trapping these type of things is not considered seder. It's already considered trapped as is because it's easily accessible. Tanya. Hatzad avazim v'tarnei goyim. If one should trap these geese or chickens, v'yoyna ha'desois, or these domesticated birds, Rashi says they were called ha'desois, that's where they came from. In any case, these are domesticated creatures, potter. He traps these things on Shabbos and Yom Tov, he's potter. Apparently, they're already considered trapped as is because they're easily accessible. So apparently, even in the case where you try to use you need to use a device to capture it, that doesn't mean that it's a maaseh tzedah. The animal is more or less accessible. Amar Rabbi Bar Rav Huna Amar Shmuel. I'll tell you the teretz. Typically, the fact that you have to use a trap, you have to use a device, indicates that the animal is still roaming freely. When it comes to geese, chickens, etc., these are different. Halolu boin lekluvan leerev. These animals come back to their coop every night. Vahalolu, as opposed to other animals, ain boin lekluvan leerev. Don't return to their coops at night. What it means to say is like this: the fact that it returns on a nightly basis indicates that it's somewhat within your control. It's not something which is a free roaming animal. In which case, lahalacha, we treat it as though it's been captured and trapped, as opposed to your typical animal, which just roams around, doesn't come back to any coop, doesn't come back to touch base. So that's considered a free roaming animal, in which case capturing it, in a case where you have to use a device to capture it, you are doing tzeda. Says the Gemara, well, is that the condition? Is that the criterion? Whether it returns on an nightly basis? What are pigeons living in the birdhouses? Living up in the attics?
the boyin the kluv on the erev, they also return back to their coops, to their houses on a nightly basis. And still we learn in the b'raisa, if one should trap them, he has done tzeda. V'tanya, we learned in the b'raisa, hatzod yoni shevach. If one should trap these birds, v'yoni aliyah, v'tziparim shekano b'tvichim, birds which reside b'tvichim, and these containers, b'birois, embedded in the walls of mansions, chayev, he has done tzeda, despite the fact that they come back to home base on a nightly basis. So you can't set that as a condition. I'll tell you the reason. I'll tell you why geese, chickens are different. These fellows return on a nightly basis. Not only that, they depend on you for their sustenance. So they're homey with you. And even during daytime, if you just walk over and capture it, you have not committed seder. Valolu boin lekluv and laerev, as opposed to those birds discussed earlier, yoinei shevich and aliyah, sure they come back every night, but ve'ein mezinasan alecha, they're not dependent on you for their sustenance. In which case, they're not considered mezuman. Rashi says they're not prepared, they're not under your domain, not in your under your jurisdiction, and capturing them is considered a maaseh tzeda. So an interesting criteria. They come back and depend on you for sustenance. They're considered connected to you somewhat, and capturing them is not considered an act of tzeda. Rav Mari Amar, he says, I'll give you another way to determine, another way to explain why geese and chickens are different. Hani avidi l'rebuye. Those birds discussed earlier, yoni shevich yoni aliyam, are of the type that fly away. They elude capture. V'hani lo yavidi l'rebuye, as opposed to chickens, geese, are different. They're more submissive. They don't run away when you approach them. What do you mean? Kulu nami yavidi l'rebuye. All creatures jump away when you approach them, even chickens and geese. L'rebuye l'kluvan kamrinan. Sorry. L'kluvan kamrinan. Davidi l'rebuye. What I meant was, l'kluvan, when they come back to their coop, as we said, they come back, they return every so often. Now is the test. So they're back at home. You approach them. Do they run away? Do they escape? Are they terrified of the owner? So lishyoni shevich ineli, yes. As soon as you approach the birdhouse, they run away. David l'rebuye. As opposed to the avos and tarnagolim and yoni hadusos, they're different. They're more domesticated. When they come back home, they stay home. And should you approach them at that point, they're submissive. They just stay there. They're passive. In which case, that passivity gives them a din of nitzoid ve'oimer. They consider to have been somewhat trapped even throughout the day when they're not back home. And approaching them, even with a device which aids you in capturing them, is not considered a maaseh tzeda. Okay, so in summary, we have all types of creatures, and when are they considered to have been trapped? And there are two applications. Number one, should a person do this on Shabbos, he has done a malach of tzedek. Number two, regarding Yom Tov, if these conditions, these circumstances, are classified as captured, as nitzoid, then you're allowed to retrieve them from their condition, from their situation, because you're not trapping, they're already trapped. So when it comes to fish and a beaver, that's untrapped. Running around a fish pond is a pretty free roaming situation, and it's not considered to have been trapped. What about a chaya in a pen? Oh, so if it's a small pen, it's considered trapped. A large pen is not. We had four conditions, four criteria set forth in the Gemara on how to determine what's called cut and what's gotten. The point is, if it can be easily retrieved, that's called katan. Otherwise, you still have to go and trap it and capture it. That's called biber gadol. Rabbi Yehuda says, when it comes to an animal, unless it's in a bias, that's not considered trapped. When it comes to birds, typically, if it's a roofed beaver, it's called trapped. Unroofed, that's not trapped. A tzibur d'rayer doesn't allow himself to be trapped too easily. Unless he's in a migdal, he's not trapped. Avozin, Tarnagolim, Yoinad, Yosoid, these domesticated animals which come back home, which rely on you for sustenance, they're considered to be in a state of Nitzoid, trapped, all throughout the day. Continues the Mishnah. Metzudas chayev o'if adogim. She'osan me'erav yamtiv. Suppose he laid out a trap to capture his chaya, to capture oif, to capture dogim. Lo yitam em b'yamtiv. He approaches the trap and finds an animal yamtiv. When was it trapped? When was it captured? Yesterday. In which case, coming into yamtiv, it was muchan, prepared for yamtiv use. Or perhaps it entered the trap today. In which case, coming into yamtiv, it was as yet untrapped, not prepared for yamtiv use, mokta. Lo yitam em b'yamtiv, he can't use it on yamtiv. Elam ken yedeya shenitayim erav yamtiv, unless he knows with certainty that it was trapped before yamtiv. Umaasa benachar echad. It was an incident involving a non-Jew. Shevi dogim l'Rabban Gamliel. He delivered fish to Rabban Gamliel on Yom Tov. V'amam mutarne. And Gamliel says, I can use them. Technically, they're mutar. Elosh ain returning l'kavel amenu. I'm not interested in receiving from this fellow. He disliked this fellow. He didn't want to interact with him. Masa lister. Does a person generally bring a story to contradict himself? Mishnah begins by saying that unless it's been trapped before Yom Tov, you have a concern with Muktzah. We have a story, fish delivered on Yom Tov Amutter. It doesn't seem to be consistent. Chesur Me'achsra. The Mishnah is meant to be learned as though it's missing some words and learned as follows. The Mishnah begins, unless the item is trapped before Yom Tov, it's considered unprepared and Muktzah. What if you're not sure? Safek Mucham. That's also Asur. You're not sure when it was trapped. You're not sure if it was ready before Yom Tov. It's also Asur. V'Rabban Gamliel Matir. Gamliel disagrees. He says, Safek Muchan. It's only Safek Drabban. It's Mut. In fact, we have a story to back that up. U'masin Nami. The mission continues. There's a story. V'Nachri Echad. Shevi Dogim. Rabban Gamliel. He delivered Gamliel some fish. V'Amam return it. And he said, technically they're Mutter. Elo She'ein return the Kalamenu. I'm not interested in receiving it from him. I don't want to give him that satisfaction, as she says, and he didn't want to give him that hana, so he refused to accept the gift. But in any case, the Mishnah is discussing Vadei Muktzah, and then moves on to Safek Muktzah, which according to Tanakama is Asur. That's going to be Shitas Rabbi Shua, coming up in a minute. Rabbi Gamliel says Safek Muchan is Mutar. In fact, I have a story where he said it's Mutar, but I personally am not interested in receiving it from him. Amar Vidam Ashmol. We don't follow Gamliel's Shita. Safek Muchan is Asur. Now, all the Rishayim and Achrayim endeavor to explain why. Muktzah is only the Rabbanon. Why do we say Safek Muchan, which is technically a Safek Muktzah, would be Asur? Tesis Shannon back on Gimel Bay says, we treat it like a Safek Deiraisa. The Mishnah Melech says, Muktzah is a Dovish Yesh Lamatirin. You may remember back on Gimel Naftal, we discussed this concept that something which has an allowance down the road, such as Muktzah, which can be used tomorrow. It's only time-related, a limited-time Isser. Chacham say, you know what? It shouldn't appear like you're taking Yisurim lightly. Wait patiently. Don't have it now when it's a Safek Isser. Wait until you can have it Beheta, which is tomorrow. So for whatever reason, we hold Safek Muchan, which is really Safek Muktzah, is still us. So Rav Yehuda Shmuel says, "Ein loch karam Gamliel." We don't follow Gamliel because Safek Muchan is really an Asur. Ve'ikad the Mas Laha. According to another version, Shmuel, when he issued this halacha, it was in reference to a price, which actually contained two shitas. The Sanya Safek Muchan. You have an uncertainty regarding whether or not it's Muchan. Rav Gamliel Matir. Rabbi Shua Oyser. On here. On this price, we have the halach Amar Vidam Shmuel. On this price, Shmuel said, halach Rabbi Shua, that Safek Muchan is us. We have yet a third version. V'ikad amas naha. Some applied Shmuel's psak to the following price, the sign. Shaykh Tabinana Gorin B'yantav. If you find an animal inside this enclosed pen, Rashi says it was called Nagorin because they had these water canals, these troughs where the animals would drink. So you can retrieve an animal from there and do shechita on Yom Tov because it's considered muchan, prepared for Yom Tov use. However, you can't retrieve an animal from these types of traps and nets. You're not sure if it was trapped today, in which case it's muktzah, or yesterday, in which case it's not muktzah. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, he says like this,
Take a close look at the net. Perhaps you can figure out when it was trapped. Rashi says they used to have these long, extra, super long nets, which would stretch a mil or chatzi mil. The opening was on one side, and he's going to approach the net, perhaps on the other side, and he's going to see whether it was tampered with. He'll see whether it was disrupted, meaning when the animal enters on the other side, the entire net, the entire trap, vibrates and gets disrupted. So, ba'u matzon mekukal merav yamtiv. If he approached the net, approached the trap before yamtiv, and he saw that it was mekukal, was already disrupted, b'yodua shemerav yamtiv nitzodu, you can be rest assured that the trap occurred before yamtiv. Why else would the entire net, the entire system be disrupted and shaken up? Umutarn, which case he can partake in this animal on yamtiv. However, bo matzon mekukal be yamtiv. If he arrives on yamtiv, so he checked it last night, it was intact. He comes the next day, yamtiv, he sees that it's mekukal, biyodua shem yamtiv nitzodu. Now he can know with certainty that it was trapped on yamtiv. That's when the animal entered, vasurin, and the animal's asur, it's muktzah. So that's the brice. We have a kasha on the brice. Hogav kasha, take a close look at the wording of the brice. We seem to find an inherent kasha. First you say, amras bo matzim mekukal kol merav yamtiv. If he encountered a disrupted net before yamtiv, then you know with certainty it was trapped before yamtiv and it's mutter. Let's stop. What's the implication? What's the diuk? It's only because he found it to be disrupted before yamtiv. In which case he knows with certainty the animal was trapped before yamtiv and is considered prepared. Apparently if there's a suffix as to when it was trapped, it would be asr. Suffix muchen is asr. Let's move on. Ema seifa. How does the brisa continue? If he approaches yamtiv, meaning he checked the night before, the net was not tampered with. He approaches the following day on yamtiv, and he finds it to be mekulkal. Now he knows with certainty it was trapped on yamtiv, and it's muktz. What does this imply? Time of the bo matzim mekulkal. That's only because he found it to be disrupted on yamtiv, so it was a vade trapped on yamtiv, and it's muktz. Hasveika. However, if it's a suffix, he's unsure of when it was trapped. Me'erev yamtiv nitzodim mutar. You can just assume that it was trapped before yamtiv and it's mutar. Because a suffix mukta is mutar. A minute ago you told me suffix mukta is asr. Right? First you say, unless you know with certainty that it was trapped yesterday, it would be asr, meaning suffix is asr. Then you say, unless you know with certainty that it was trapped today, it's mutar, which means suffix is mutar. The Brisa meant like this. Really, suffix is awesome. The Brisa began, Bo'um matzon mekukal merav yamtiv. He approached the net before yamtiv, and he found it to be disrupted. Biyodua shemerav yamtiv nitzodu. Then you know with certainty that it was trapped before yamtiv, and it's mut. Umutar. Hasveika. Oh, the Brisa meant like this. But if there's any shaila, there's any uncertainty as to when it was trapped, hasveika, nasekemi, we treat it as though shenitzoidi b'yamtiv yasurin, as though it's trapped on yamtiv and it's asur, because safek muchan, safek mukta is really asur. On this, we have the verdict of Shmuel, Amar b'damar Shmuel, halacha, k'rab shimon alazur, that safek mukta is asur. So bottom line is, we have machlekes regarding safek muchan, mukta, is it asur or mukta? According to Rabbi Gamliel, it is mutter. According to other shittas, it's asur. We have a psak, then we have a shmol. Safek muchan, which is really a safek mukta, is asur. But according to Rabbi Gamliel, it's mutter. V'amam mutarim. It was a story involving a guy who delivered fish on yamtiv. They weren't sure when it was trapped, before or during yamtiv. Rabbi Gamliel responds, it's mutter. Because he holds safek mukta, safek muchan is mutter. Now we say it's mutar, mutar lamai. Relative to what way is it mutar? We have machlekes. Rav Amar mutar lekabel. You can accept it, you can handle it, but you can't eat it. V'levi Amar mutar machila. You can even eat it. Says Rashi right off to the left side here. Lekabel betiltel. You can actually handle it. That's Rav Shita. The kuli hayle achmor besafik muchan. We're not going to be machmor to this extent by a safik muchan. The litzur betiltel, you can't even handle it. Aval ba'achilu l'shirinu Rav Gamliel. But certainly when it comes to eating, even Rav Gamliel did not allow it to be eaten. V'levi amar matol ma'achilu. Kamar Amalil. He held you can even eat it. So Rashi adds, "V'lav the svira l'rav b'levi kavaseh." It's not to say that Rav and Levi hold like Rav and Amalil. Elam Mil said the Mefarshim is simply trying to explain his opinion. When he said mutar, did he mean to the extent of achila or only tiltul? Now what would be the difference? So some Achranim explain, Rav held that theoretically, Rav Gamliel agrees that Sofek Muktzah, since it's Davar Sheish L'Matir, you shouldn't eat it today. Wait till tomorrow. That's only when it comes to eating, which is a sort of one-time use. You don't eat it once. So may as well eat it tomorrow, when you know it's Mutter, rather than relying on the Sofek today. But when it comes to tiltal usage and moving around, it's not a one-time thing. So in that case, there's no svara to say, well, wait till tomorrow. I'll use it today and tomorrow. So therefore, he was matir tiltal. So again, Rav Gamliel says, Safek mutar is mutar. Rav says, regarding handling. Levi says, regarding eating as well. Omar Rav lo'olam al yimna adam atzmai beis ha-medrash. Afilu sha'achas. We learn a great lesson from this discussion. A person should be careful. Never to be absent, even for a short time, from the beis ha-medrash. Look what happened here. Da'anova Levi, myself, this is Rav speaking, and Levi, havinun kamei de Rebbe. We were before, in front of Rebbe, listening to his shiur. She amar lo shmata, when he taught us this halacha, that according to Rav Gamliel, safek muchen is mutar. Now, bu'urta, at the evening, amar mutar machila. At the shiur which took place during the evening, he said, it's mutar even machila. But safra in the morning, he changed his mind. After the whole night of learning, but safra amar mutar lekabel. It's only mutter to be makabel. It's not mukta as far as tilta, but achila is still awesome. So he backtracked. Now, I, myself, Rav, the avoy be medrasha, who was present at night and in the morning, hajribi, I backtracked as well when I heard Rebbe backtracking. Levi delihava be medrasha, as opposed to Levi, who wasn't there in the morning, he was absent. Well, he didn't revert, he didn't backtrack. He stuck to the earlier version. And therefore he says it's mutar b'achila. But the truth is, the reality is that Rebbe was chayzer. He no longer held that according to Rav Gamliel it's mutar b'achila, only b'tiltul. Continues the Gemara. Listen to this kasha. Nochu shehevi darin liYisrael. A guy delivered a gift to a Yisrael on Yom Tov. Afilu dogem hamafulamen. Even if you see there are fresh fish. Uperes b'nei yoyman. Moist fish. And fresh fruit, pick today. You know, they were trapped today. Pick today, mutar, and you can partake in them. Now, bishlem lemala omer mutar. Let's go back. This works according to the Shita, who said that the muktzah is mutar and lekabel. You can handle it. You can move it. Shopper, so we can understand why the b'risa allows you to accept these items. Elu lemala omer mutar ba'achila. But according to Levi, you can even eat them. Peres b'nei ma yamin mishor ba'achila. How can you actually eat fresh fruit picked today? It's muktzah. He says, one second. Tameich. What do you mean to ask? Peres bnei yamin mishor b'tiltul? If these are really fresh fruit picked today, you can't even handle it. We never discussed fresh fruit. We discussed a safek mucha. Okay, over there, perhaps. We have a kula, you can handle them. But the Bryce is speaking about fresh fruit. Freshly picked fruit, freshly captured fish. Elo, apparently you must be speaking about a case where it's bekavri fish da'adim. They're still red. They look a bit fresh, but in reality, they're yesterday's fish. Picked before, captured before a yamt. Uperi, when we speak about the fruit, the kvishi biyarka skinan. They were covered with greens, with vegetables, to keep them fresh. So in reality, they're yesterday's products. And have no muktzah concern whatsoever. Why does the b'risa refer to them as fresh, today's products? They appear like today's products, but in reality they're not. So what's the chiddush? Rashi says, even though they appear like today's, we're not choshish for maris ayin. We allow the Yisrael to accept it without any concerns because it was picked and trapped yesterday. Not muktzah. Amar Papa Hilchasa, Halacha L'maaseh says like this. Nachri shehevi darvin liYisrael b'yamtiv. A nachri delivers a gift to Yisrael on yamtiv. He delivers him a batch of bananas. Im yesh ma'ose amin b'machubar asa. Now, theoretically, we can have two concerns. Perhaps they were picked today, so they're muktzah. because going into Yom Tov, they were not prepared for this purpose. And Rashi says, even according to Reb Shimon, this is a severe form of muktzah. It's been negated, pushed away from use, sitting on a tree, nobody's using it. Nobody wants to use it at this point. So even though it's a goy, he says, the concept applies even to the product of a goy and its muktzah. Number two, perhaps it was brought from outside the tchum. So there are two possible concerns. Says the Gemara, if you know for a fact that there are still some bananas that are mechuber lekarka today, so there's a real concern that it was picked today, and it's aser. You can't use it on Yom Tov. A concern that he picked it mina mechuber. Ule erev nami. Listen to this. Even after Yom Tov, asur mechdeshiyasur. The following night, you have to give it some time. Suppose it takes an hour to pick and deliver these bananas. You have to wait an hour. Come matur Yom Tov. So that you don't really benefit from the malacha that the goy did on your behalf. Tesis says, otherwise, you might be tempted to have the goy do things for you. Chacham applied gzera. Any time a malacha was done by a goy for a Yisrael, he has to wait bechdei shiyasu to have adequate period of time lapse during Matzah Yom Tov, which will remove any possible hanah garnered from the goy's efforts. So this is if there's a concern that he might have picked it. V'im ein ma'isa amin b'mechubar. If you know for a fact, season's over. There are no more bananas to be picked. There's no concern that he picked it on Yom Tov. Then there's no concern of muktzah, but it depends how far away he got it from. Teicha tchum mutar. If you deliver it from within the tchum, you can use it on Yom Tov. Chutzal tchum asa. But if you deliver it from outside the tchum, so although it's not amlacha derais, amlacha derabbanon, you can't partake in those bananas. Vavo b'shvil Yisrael zeh mutar Yisrael acher. Listen to this chiddush. But if something was delivered from outside the tchum for Reuven, although Reuven can't partake in it, but Shimon can. Rashi on top says, "Leshamati tam makubo b'davar." I didn't really hear a good pshat on this halacha. And Tosfos says it's only drabon. They were not machmer when it comes to Yisur tchumen. Perhaps the point is that it's not really a true transformation that took place. You haven't really produced anything. You haven't really changed its shape, its consistency. It wasn't like it was baked or picked. It was just transported, delivered from one place to the other. That's not a typical malacha. And therefore, you, the recipient, Reuven, who was delivered to, he can't have enough from this change of location, of his delivery. But Shimon, the guy didn't have him in mind. So the malacha wasn't done for him. And therefore, he doesn't have to reckon with the fact that it changed locations. He can partake in this delivery. Okay, so what did we learn today? We began with a Mishnah in Sodom Dogim. The point is, you can't trap on Yom Tov. Sometimes fish, rather animals, contained in certain enclosures are already considered to have been trapped, in which case you can go and retrieve it on Yom Tov. So we have a list. When it comes to fish in a fish pond is considered not trapped. A chaya and a biber cotton, trapped. Biber gadol, not trapped. According to Rabbi Yehuda, has to be in a bias to be trapped. When it comes to eifos, biber mekura, a roof biber, is considered trapped. Eina mekura, unroofed, is considered to be untrapped. This is a typical bird, a tzipa d'roer, who eludes capture. Unless you force him into a migdal, he's not considered to be trapped. Those domesticated creatures, avozim, tarnagoylim, fish, geese, and chickens, yoynad yosois, these domesticated pigeons, since they're submissive, they're considered to be trapped all along. We learned about setting up traps before Yom Tov and using the content on Yom Tov itself. So if it was trapped before Yom Tov, you know that it was prepared for Yom Tov use, it's not muktzah. If it was trapped on Yom Tov itself, then it's considered to be muktzah. What if it's a suffek muktzah? According to Rambam Gamliel, it's mutter. Some say mutter betiltel, some say even b'achila. According to Rabbi Yeshua, it is considered to be asur. And the halacha follows Rabbi Yeshua, suffek muktzah is asur. If a Akum did a malacha for Yisrael, he picked something, delivered something, trapped something, so you're usher in that item, b'chdei sheyasu, you have to leave enough time on Matzah Yom Tov, enough time which would allow, theoretically, for this malacha to be done so that you don't have enough on the goy's malacha. concluded with a goy which brought something mechutz l'tchum, although it's aser l'Yisrael zeh, but it's mutar l'Yisrael acher. All the best to you and much hatzlacha.